share. But we got lots of people that like to share around here, but I guess tonight it's my turn. Yeah. Are we going to release the youth? Oh, they're going to stay up. Oh, they're staying up, so I get to torture them as well. All right, well, let's open up with a word of prayer. Lord, we just look to you tonight. Lord, we just pray that you have your hands upon us, Lord, that you would open our eyes and our ears to the understanding that you have for us. Lord, I just pray that you would work through me tonight, Lord, to deliver the message that you have for your people in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I always like to give everybody the pre-warning. You make sure that, you know I like to fight dirty. So I like to give low blows. I like to sneak things in when people aren't ready. So if you've never heard me sharing, I might tell a story getting you laughing, and then I like to give you a quick little whoop, because that's the best way to win a fight is get somebody with a sucker punch when they ain't ready. So keep your guard up if you're sensitive, amen? Amen? Tonight I would like to talk a little bit about getting closer to God. You know, how many of us want to get closer to God? You know, and there's ways of getting closer, and I think some of it is we need to break down what's the distance between us and God. You know, the best way of understanding how far we are from God is to understand distance and perspective. You know, and distance is relative. You know, our idea of how far something is kind of changes. You know, my son and we have a talk. I like to call, he's my, what if son, you know? He's always asking me these what if questions. You know, he doesn't always seek out knowledge that's going to help him in life. He knows how to cook ramen noodles and macaroni and cheese, but he needs to know every aspect of what could happen in an apocalypse situation. You know, so he's asking me the other day, he says, well, what if there was a solar flare and all the power and none of the vehicles were working? He says, should I just walk home from work? You know, he's got a legitimate question. He's thinking of something that could happen. He says, would I just walk home? I said, well, it's relative. It's different, you know? I mean, like, he works till 11 o'clock at night. So there's factors in play. You know, it's how cold is it outside? You know what I mean? It's, 90% of the time, I guarantee he's probably in a t-shirt. He ain't got no coat. He ain't got no clothes. And the thing that he is, well, how long would it take me? I can get home. I can walk home, no problem. He's young. He's fit. I said, well, it's going to take about 10 to 12 hours to walk home. You know, and you could see that didn't quite click home. You know, it takes you 30 minutes to get there in a car, but it takes a lot longer when you're on foot. You know, so distance is relative unto how fast you're traveling. You know what I'm saying? So it's, you know, if you're walking, you walk about 22 miles an hour, you know, or you walk, so in 1 mile, it takes about 25 minutes. You know, so to walk 30 miles, it's going to take you 12 plus hours. Can you do that in the middle of the night? Is it better to wait till morning? You know, these are questions that he's getting, but you could see that concept never occurred to him that it would take so long when the journey takes so short regularly. You know, and I remember the first time this concept struck home to my little brother. I got a couple pictures. So that first picture of us by the fence there, or by the signs. Throw a few pictures in there to break the night up. This is a picture of me and my brothers when we were going to go on one of our first hiking trips. You know, young and spry looking there, all excited. This is right before it happened. And my little brother, he was probably about only like 16 or 17 years old there. And I can vividly remember the exact moment when that distance reality hit him. Hit him on the next picture. See, this is us. We're out on Isle Royale. And you see he's pointing there. You can't even see it on the picture, but on that little distant peak, it's about 10 miles away, and there's a fire tower there. And he's looking, and he's like, oh, we were over there yesterday, you know, and we walked all day. We passed that thing in the morning, and we got to there, and he was excited to see how far we had come. You know, he's like, you could just barely see it off in the distance. And then we broke his heart because my brother told him, yeah, and we're not even a quarter of the way there yet. You know, you could see his face and his heart just sank. You know, and at that point, guaranteed, if we didn't take a ferry to an island and got dropped off and the only way was forward, he would have quit right then and there. You know, because the distance was much further than he thought. You know, and sometimes as Christians, we find ourselves in that same spot where the distance between us and God is a lot further than we thought. Because sometimes before we were closer. You know, we had some, maybe we were on the high track, we were in the highway and we were in a car and we got close to God. But now all of a sudden we find ourselves at this place where, man, I can't even see him over there. That's so far, I don't have the energy to go there, and we don't even make the effort. You know, that's where a lot of people are in this world. They know that they're separated from God, but it seems like such a far journey that they're not willing to make it. You know, and a lot of us, we were once closer to God than we are now, and that's never a proper place to be in, amen? You know, when we find ourselves close, far from God, there's only one way to get there. You know, it's that slow hike, that slow trek. We got to just keep heading in that direction to get closer and closer and closer to him. But our human nature, we like to change things. We always are looking for an easier way out. Are we not? You know, 90% of Christians, we're far from God, but we're looking for an easier way to get closer. You know, I think back when I was a young teenager, I liked basketball. You know, and a lot of people think, oh, the Timberwolves, man, the Timberwolves, you can keep them guys. I was a New York Knicks fan. That's where I grew up, was in New York, so my Knicks. You know, I got the opportunity to go to Madison Square Garden, and man, was I excited. You know, but then when I looked at where the seats were, I thought, man, that's a long way off. You know, at Madison Square Garden, it goes out. So by the time I got to my seat, man, I couldn't tell who was who on that court. I couldn't tell if it was my guy who was 6 foot or if it was that guy who was 7 foot. I couldn't read the numbers. I couldn't tell. I mean, like, it was pointless to even be there. And then another guy, he brought out the cheat code. You know, when you're far away and you want to see something close, you get you a pair of these. You know what I mean? You could sit from a far off distance and you could bring that thing right up close. You know, but have you ever tried living with some of these on? You know what I mean? This is what a lot of modern Christians are doing. We're sitting way up in the cheap seats, far from God. And because we can cheat and we can look at him once in a while, we think we're close. You know, you know what I mean? We think we can get close because we get a glimpse of him. There he is, right where I left him 10 years ago. You know what I mean? That's what we do. We get little glimpses of God, but we're so far separated from him that we can't have a relationship with God. You know, let's look at a scripture. Matthew 9, we're going to read 20 and 22. It says, and a woman who had been suffering from hemorrhage for 12 years came up behind him and touched the fringe of his cloak. For she was saying to herself, if I only touch his garment, I will get well. But Jesus turned, seeing her, and said, daughter, take courage. Your faith has made you well. At once the woman was made well. You know, if we could just touch him, we could be made well. You know, if we could just touch Christ, our lives could be changed. But I want to put you to just a little test because, you know, a couple years ago when we were in India, we had a group there. And there were young teenagers, young 20-year-olds that were just on fire for God. And when they came there, they were really excited to go and share God's word to other people. You know, and all of a sudden we went into this place where the gospel had never been before. You know, and it was hard. I mean, if the gospel has never been in a place, there's a reason why. There's a resistance to God's presence being in there. And when you went in there, I tell you what, it was like going to war. You know what I mean? The people were just stone-faced. It took a while to break through. And I remember all these teenagers getting just downhearted. They're like, man, this is hard. Man. You know, the first day they were there, they're reading their Bibles. They had musicians with them. They're playing guitars. They're singing in the morning. They're praying. They're having all this time. But by day three, they're just sitting there just mopey. Oh, this is hard. You know, they realized a fact. A lot of their relationship with God was borrowed. A lot of it was cheating. You know what I mean? They sat in a church and they had $1 million worship team to usher in the presence of God so that they could feel what it was like. You know what I mean? If we can see God, we can feel what he's like. I see him there. You know, we have cheat things to help us get close to God. But let me ask you this today. Can you touch him? Without any kind of cheat, without any kind of help, without any kind of worship team or pastor or anything else, can you touch him? Can he speak to you? That's a litmus test on how your relationship and how much distance is between you and God. Man, if you haven't sat in a room all by yourself crying because God's talking to you, you can't touch him. And there's something wrong with what's going on. There's a distance between you and God that you need to start putting on that hiking pack and heading in a direction to get closer. Because a lot of this, it's great to come in and have community worship and usher in a presence and worship together. I'm not against that. But you should be able to create that on your own. You should be able to sit there with God's word and just have tears running down your face because God's talking to you. You should be able to reach up and grab his hand. And that's what the distance between us and God, there should be no distance. We should be able to reach and touch him and talk to him at any time. You know, but what some of the things that keep us from getting that close to God? You know, when we get to close to God, there's a cost, isn't there? There's a cost to getting close with God that keeps a lot of people distant. If I can just see him once in a while and feel good, that's usually good enough for some people. Because when you really get right up there and you start getting close to God, God starts talking back to you, and then he's going to ask a cost. You know, it's kind of... How many of we in the house here have glasses? There are quite a few people that have glasses. You know, can you think back to the very moment when you realized you needed them? Huh? I remember for Corey, I was probably only 12 years old, and he came back from his driver's test, and he couldn't pass his driver's test because his eyes were too bad. And he was heartbroken. I mean, it was like somebody murdered a child or something. He was utterly broken because he couldn't pass his test. You know what I mean? For me, I was much later in life. I was probably 40 years old. And I had good vision my whole life. And all of a sudden, the moment I realized that my vision's not so good, me and my wife were sitting there and we were trying to find something to watch on the Netflix. And all of a sudden, she starts reading the story on what the show is about. And I'm like, man, I can't see none of that. I could read the title because it's this big. But the description of the show was nothing but a blur. You know, in my mind, I just thought, well, that's just too far for anybody to read. Well, she could read it sitting right next to me. Obviously, my vision's not so good. You know, so we made an appointment. I went in and got my eyes checked. And they're like, sure enough, you need glasses. And you need them bad. You got astigmatism in this eye and this eye, and they give you all this stuff. And, you know, my daughter was actually working at the eyeglass place and got me a good deal on some good glasses. And when I finally got them and I put them on, man, wow. I didn't know what I was missing all these years. Watching that TV, I'm like, wow, that's high definition. Me, I couldn't tell the difference between a VHS tape or a Blu-ray, or it didn't matter. I'm like, I don't see what everybody's talking about because I couldn't see. You know what I mean? I didn't know what high definition looked like until I got some glasses. But then after putting the glasses on, something started happening. You know, man, you'd stand up, you get a little woozy, you start getting headaches. I mean, something ain't right here. You know, my brain is rejecting what's happening. You know, like I kept calling my daughter. I'm like, they gave me the wrong glasses. She's like, can you see? I'm like, yeah. She's like, it takes time to adjust. And I mean, months, my depth perception is off. You know, I feel like I'm kind of tall, which is weird for me. You know, there's all these things happening. And I swear, like, they got something wrong because I should have adjusted by now. I mean, it took such a long time because my brain was rejecting seeing clearly. Think of that. You know, what are glasses called? Corrective lenses. You know, our mind rejects correction. It's a natural state of the human being. You know, when we come close to God, God's going to give you those corrective lenses. You know, you walked around your whole life thinking you could see clearly, you could see perfectly. But now all of a sudden, God starts showing you things. He starts opening your vision, and our brain is going to reject that. Like, no. That can't be right. You know, there's a cost. You got to stick to it. You got to stay close to God, and he's going to start to clear our vision. And that's something that happens by closing that distance between us and God. Just by being in his presence, your life is going to change. It doesn't matter what church you're going to, what people you're, if you're in God's presence, your life is going to change. And a lot of us, our mind rejects that change and keeps a distance. You know, it's easier when I'm 200 yards away just looking, oh, yep, there he is. He don't get to correct me. You know, and that's why the mega church is really taken off, because I can't come to you, sit down and talk to you. Hey, brother, what's going on in your life? I can sit in the back, I can worship, I can go, and I can feel like I have a relationship with God when I got nothing. I can't touch him. You know, let's look at a scripture, Matthew 6, 22 and 23. It says, the eye is the lamp of the body. So then if the eye is clear, the whole body will be full of light. But if the eye is bad, the whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light is in you, that is in you is darkness, how great is the darkness? You know, God's wanting to open up our understanding so that our bodies can be filled with light. But a lot of the times, we got to make sure that we get out of the way. You know, and then there's one last step to getting close to God. You know, one of the most profound scriptures I've ever read that's always really hit me hard was in 1 Corinthians 11. You know, Paul makes the statement, be imitators of me, just as I also imitate Christ. You know, it's a short little one. But it's profound. You know, he's saying, if you follow me, you'll be following Christ. Like, man, I don't know if I can say that. You know, do you want someone following you around all the time? Be like, yeah, just come with me. You're going to find God if you come with me. You might find him some of the time, but maybe not all the time. That's a bold statement. He's saying you're going to find God by just following my example. You know, and that's something that most of us, man, it's hard to say because I don't know if we're living that life. But talking with my daughter, you know, and they haven't grabbed hold of this last part. They need to hear this last part. You know, she calls me and she says, man, I've really got this guy in my heart, Joey Dunhoo. How many remember Joey? He came through the program when she was just little. And he's been out in the wind, you know, and she's like, man, he's been on my heart. I've been having dreams about him, and I'm trying to find him. You know, and anybody that knows my daughter, she's a driven person. When she gets her stubborn mind set on a task, she's a capable, driven person. So, I mean, Joey's been out in the wind for years. She's finding his last, you know, picture in the DOC. She's finding his mom's number and calling her. Mom hasn't talked to him in 2 years. You know what I mean? She's hunting this fellow. because she feels in her heart that she needs to do something. She's asking her dad, what do I do? I'm like, you got to pray for him. She didn't like that answer. You know what I mean? I'm like, keep looking. But I mean, everybody knows when you're on the run, you're on the run. Dude's got warrants, everything. And if the cops ain't finding him, you surely ain't going to find him. If he ain't talking to his own mama in 2 years, I really doubt that you're going to find him. And she don't want to hear that. You know, she wants her dad to give her some better advice on how to find this guy. But then I asked her a simple question. I said, what are you going to do when you find him? You know what I mean? And she got quiet there for quite a while because she hasn't been getting close to God. Maybe at one time in her life, but right now she's not as close as she needs to be. So what are you going to do when you find him? What are you going to win him with? What are you going to offer him? Quiet. Because she hasn't grabbed a hold of this, follow me, you'll find Christ. You know, he got a hold of something that's different. You know, and I can only describe it like this. How many of you have been in a relationship and you hold hands with the one that you love? You know, it just happens. It's kind of an agreement that you have that, I mean, some people, maybe they're not hand holders. You just walk into the store and all of a sudden you find a hand and you're holding hands. You know, and it's what I call it's a light agreement. You know what I mean? You can just come up without saying a word, grab the hand, and you can walk for a while, and you can let it go with a little squeeze, and no questions asked why you let it go. It's a light agreement. You know, but there's times that change the agreement. You know, my wife, she has the worst night vision I've ever seen in a person. Now, when it's dark out or when it's slippery out, there is no casual agreement anymore. You know, see, I'll come close, and the hand's not even an option. She just grabs hold of the arm, and she ain't letting go. If she falls, we both fall. I could walk her right off a cliff in the darkness, and she'd go right over the edge because she has grabbed hold of the arm. It's not long. It's not this just tentative agreement that we love each other and we're going to hold hands and walk down this way. It's, you ain't going nowhere without me, John. You know what I mean? And that's what Paul got a hold of. That's what he's saying. He grabbed a hold of God in a way that's beyond just a casual agreement. You know, this is not a little thing. Let's go. We're going the same direction. Let's hold hands. No, I have grabbed a hold of God. And he ain't going nowhere without me. Amen. That's what we need to have as Christians. You know, the phrase, I mean, like you hitched your wagon to him. You know what I mean? That's an old phrase. You're going to hitch your wagon to that guy? What it means is I'm no longer working under my power. I'm following that power, and I've hitched my wagon to it, and wherever it goes, that's where I go. If the wheels come off, I'm not stopping. He's dragging me along the way. You know, and that's what we need to get to. We need to get to this point where, man, God, I grab a hold of what you have for me. That's what Paul did. Be imitators of me as I imitate Christ. He grabbed a hold of something that's rare. And I want to grab a hold of that. I want everybody in the church to be able to grab a hold of that. You know, not this casual Christian thing. We got to be radical Christians. I want to leave you with one final scripture in Isaiah. It says, open the gates. Open the gates, the righteous nation may enter. The one that remains faithful, the steadfast of mind, you will keep in perfect peace. Because he trusts in you, trust in the Lord forever. You know, that's God's calling to us, is there should be no distance between us and God. You know, clear my mind, show me the distance between us, let me bridge that gap. You know, God is always there reaching out looking for you. So if you're not close to God, it's not something that God's done. There's no place you can go. There's no distance too far for him to meet you. If we're distant from God, it's something that we're doing. And we need to change that. Amen? Amen. Let's pray tonight. Lord, we just look to you. Lord, we just pray that if there's interference between us and you, if there's a distance between me and you, Lord, I pray tonight, reveal it to us. Give us that clear vision. What is hindering us from getting close to your presence, Lord? I do not want to be a cheater. I do not want to have distant vision, Lord. I want to be right up in your presence. We just pray tonight, Lord, that we would be able to have a walk like Paul had, where we just follow you and grab a hold. In Jesus' name, amen.